Okay, so I've been studying this idea of gratitude, and yes, we're going to be in Galatians, but we're going to be all over the Word of God today in a good way. So you go ahead and put your finger in Galatians 3, and that's good. But listen, I want you to, if you get any time at all amidst your feasting, do you think it's okay to feast? Is it all right to have a week-long celebration? Did we not do that in biblical times? If you have any question about that, you come see one of our teachers, like Rick or somebody like that. He'll explain the feasts of the past and how they relate to the sacrifice of the cross and are completed in Jesus Christ and why we celebrate the Last Supper. Oh, but it's not our last. So this week, what I want you to do when you're gathered around the table, I want you to think about communion. See, sometimes I think we think Jesus and the disciples had little tiny wafers and these little itty-bitty juice cups. No. We do that because it's quicker and easier. Sometime we're going to do a true historical communion. We're going to do that. I think we'll be doing that around the Passover coming up here in this coming Easter. But Christmas Eve, don't miss communion. But this week should be an absolute outpouring of the act of communion of you and your Father, of you and your Lord Jesus, of the presence of Almighty God in your life. This should be a week-long feast and celebration of who God is to you. Can you do it? Will you do it? Will you covet with me? Patty and I are going to, at the end of the service, give you something to help. She's very detailed. I'm very all over the place. And so she's going to help you summarize my all over the place with an actual act of gratitude for the entire week, okay? Now, Galatians, stay with me. Any of you thankful for Ohio State? I made the stupid mistake of watching that game yesterday. Oh, that was not wise. Because my sanctification always gets on edge. It just slips back a cog every time I watch the Buckeyes. And it doesn't matter how good they are. And I thought they were doing their very best to perfect me in the Lord. And it wasn't working. So I tell Tom, he's from Michigan, you know, Mr. Swanson. Yeah, we're not supposed to say that word. He's from the state up north. And he said, yeah, 1 week in all of Ohio, you get it right. Michigan week. It's Michigan week. He said he liked that, you know, we just keep repeating it's Michigan week. But what it really is gratitude week for who your Lord and Savior is. End of sentence, period. But then, who he is in your life. So go with me to Galatians 5, and I'm going to have you as you turn, Galatians 3, and I want you to go starting in verse 10, and we'll only go through 14. So as I do that, I'm going to give you some other scriptures that I want you to either jot down or turn to if you can do it. If you're good at it, you can do this. And I think they're up there on the screen. Actually, guys, the title actually is that, Gratia, Grace, Gratitude. Add glory to that if you would. Gratia, Grace, Gratitude, Glory. Because glory overshadows all of that. And then, that's not something we want, whatever that is. You guys shopping for Chevy trucks again? Okay. So there was a screen with scriptures, but maybe they weren't on there. So I'm going to give them to you right now. Here they are. Psalm 98:4. Psalm 98:4. Okay. Somebody turn to that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be really out of the box. Some of you are going to read these here in a minute. So somebody turn to Psalm 98:4. So don't all of you do that. Somebody else turn to Isaiah 55:12. Isaiah 55:12. And somebody turn to Colossians 3:15-17. Okay, so somebody has 98:4 Psalm, somebody has 55:12 Isaiah, and somebody has 3:15-17 Colossians 3. Got it? Okay. Now, church, read with me from the Word as we've been going through the book of Galatians. We finished Philippians, we're in Galatians, we're in the third chapter of Galatians. Stand with me and go to verse 10, Galatians 3. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Ah, but not you. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That's Old Testament. Clearly, no one is justified of the law, before God of the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Whew, there should be like a cheer. I'm not kidding you. There should be like an absolute, when we read a verse like that, there should just be a jubilant shout. Praise be the Lord God. He has redeemed you. Cursed is everything, because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Whew, can you imagine knowing God being Jesus, knowing these scriptures, knowing that he's going to go to that cross? He is redeemed. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Is there another cheer? So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Should be another one. See, we too often read these scriptures and we just gloss over them, church. We just gloss right through them. Do we realize from what hole, from what debt we've been redeemed? Do we really see it on this gratitude week? Can we see with spiritual eyes? Can we ask the Holy Spirit to remove the scales from our spiritual eyes that we would see the gift we've been given from the place that we've been redeemed from? Let's pray. Jesus, speak to our hearts. Motivate us. Speak, Heavenly Father, blessing, but also conviction. Change our hearts, Lord. Let us not leave here without absolutely, unequivocally being moved by your word, nothing but your word, grace, nothing but grace that has been provided as a gift, a gratia from the heavens, from the right hand of the Father through the Son. May your Spirit indwell us richly. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've been studying gratitude. Now, I was telling class that I go to every once in a while I'll have a cup of coffee. Not very often, just every once in a great while I'll allow myself, because all the health reports are saying that coffee is good for you, and they come out with another one, and I make sure that I Google only the good ones, because you know that way you can continue in your vice. So Christians are allowed to drink coffee. There's not been a Vatican IV, so. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? And that's probably good. We're allowed to drink coffee. Some of you drink tea. Did you know that those of you who love tea, there's a store in the Polaris Fashion Mall called Teavana? I don't understand it at all, but it's exceedingly upscale. So if you like tea and you want to spend $5 on a cup of tea, go there. So I've been doing this research on a heart of gratitude. Because, see, what happens to us in America is we go through our preschool programs and our elementary high school programs. The high school kids don't want to give thanks anymore, so, you know, they watch a movie on some historical account of Thanksgiving. And we gloss through this week through cornucopias, turkeys, and saying the word thanks. And if we're lucky, we get to the dining room table, and one of you who is a leader in your family, which is perfect, right, your perfect family, one of you who is there says, let's give God thanks. You know, there's a lot more to that than we might think. You know, but I want us to go much deeper than we've ever gone before in this area of gratitude. I want you to begin to think of the word thanksgiving as the word gratitude this week. Change it. Change it up. Do something that gets you to look at this week and at this idea of gratitude to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do something that your spiritual eyes see it differently. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just have three or four dinners at different places and just get it done and get it past you so you can get to Black Friday. That's a really dumb day. I would highly suggest you stay in your house on that day. You'll not be encumbered by bad traffic. You won't be tempted to swear. There's a lot of good in staying home on Black Friday. The Lord says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there's a way of escape. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God has with the temptation made a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Don't go. That's what they created. That's what God created Amazon for. So you can stay home. Okay, all right. Enough heretical doctrine. Let's get to the word. What's that? Brian 3:16. Enough heretical heresy. Isn't it good to laugh together, church? That's what I believe God is saying to us this week. See, Patty calls me and says, one of the family members might be coming Friday. I go, why? You figure on Friday you can just relax and watch some football that doesn't matter, because on Friday, that Friday, there's no good football. But, you know, there's some that doesn't matter that you can watch. And then the Lord sent me to this idea of where we're going this week. And, of course, who gets convicted first? Yeah. Did you know that you've been tasked by your Lord Jesus Christ, who took your place, with being the minister of reconciliation? See, don't cop out and say you're just one. He has appointed you individually as specific individuals by name to be the minister of reconciliation to that family member that he is calling you to this week. You're saying you're meddling. Yes, I am. Because as soon as I said, why are they coming? God said, you need to make a turkey. So I texted that. Yes, that's never happened before in my life. So I texted that to my wife, who's in the federal building. I got back this text that said, you know, I have armed guards at the door of my building. Because I said something about, I'm going to make a turkey and I'm going to make a ham. Me. And so there was this long pause, and then there was, why? You know, so she felt pretty protected, because where she works, there's a lot of protection and there's iron gates and stuff. She thought, sure, I was outside the door and going to storm this place because something wasn't right. So I really am. I'm going to make a turkey. Not for Thanksgiving Day. That's Barb's job. But I decided I'm going to make one because God wants to bless somebody in my family, and I don't even know who it is yet. Well, I hope they'll be blessed. We don't know that yet. But I'm not the worst cook in the world, am I? I'm pretty good, pretty doggone good. Church, who is God calling you to minister to this week? See, I did this. God took me from this section in Galatians. I said, God, that's not very Thanksgiving-ish. It just isn't. And then he said, really? Read it again. So, church, did you know that, I should have had this on the screen but didn't, Did you know that when you have a heart of gratitude, when you practice it, when you actually move from the trite phrases of thank you to true scriptural heartfelt gratitude, things change in your life? Now don't misunderstand me here. We're not going down the road of moralistic therapeutic deism. You know how I hate that. Do I need to redefine that? Okay, I saw some blank stares. So often in our Christian world, the gospel is not used as the gospel. It's used as a self-help manual to help you get through your week. And so they'll pluck out a psalm, and they'll pluck out this scripture. Remember the billboard and the, you know, the things I say about, you know, bumper stickers and things like that? That you don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say I can do all things through Christ and then say, okay, so God, you're going to bless me, I'm going to get this job. That's not what that verse means. It means because of Christ's sacrifice, you can get through the darkest, worst moment of your life. And sure, God wants to bless you. So what I'm saying about this is not, we're not headed down moralistic therapeutic deism where we just use God as a cotton candy Santa Claus God who gets us what we want. God is God. God redeemed you from the darkest pit of hell that you can imagine, and I don't think we can even imagine it. We can't even get close to the significance of from what we've been redeemed. That's where the heart of gratitude begins to see the picture come together. And these verses in Galatians all of a sudden take a different form. They jump out at you, and then they smack you in the face and say, this is why you should celebrate all week long the gift of grace. Gratia, grace, gratitude, and all glory be to God. By Jesus Christ. So, on this is a chart of what happens to you when you begin to allow your heart make a transition from your normal humanness to a heart of gratitude. And so here's what it does. Emotionally, you feel better. You feel more relaxed, more resilient, less envious. None of you, I've heard there are people in other churches that have envy. Happier memories. That's just in the emotional side. In the social side, you become more social, healthier marriages, you're kinder, you have more friends. Oh, nobody, you don't want friends. Okay. Deeper relationships, your personality, you're less materialistic, less self-centered. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, if you have a heart of gratitude, less self-centered, more optimistic, increased self-esteem, more spiritual. Now, these are written by people who don't necessarily have a relationship with Christ. Your health. Let's look at your career first. Better manager, improved networking, more goals achieved, improved decision-making, increased productivity. Sounds like a good thing. And this is the humanness side. How about your health? You know there are two psychologists. Emmons from University of California at Davis, Michael McCullough, University of Miami. There's also there's ones at Utah. There's lots of these studies. And these are recent on gratitude, a heart of true gratitude. You have to practice it. Church, if there's any group of people that should practice gratitude, who should it be? See, if we go the other route in a humanist and moralistic way, a therapeutic way, you're just using God as a means to an end to attain some goal. But us, we come to it with a heart of true gratitude if we see it. If we see it with our spiritual eyes. But here's some just research in the world about gratitude. They asked these participants to write down what they're grateful for just a week. And here's what happened. Greater happiness, more positive emotion, relished good experiences, improved health. They dealt with adversity better. They built strong relationships. Robert Emmons said, those who perceive gratitude as a permanent trait rather than a temporary state of mind, you catch that? Don't make this just a day in a calendar because Abraham Lincoln said so. Oh, it's true. But did you see what they said? It's easy to say benevolent, but beneficent God. That's where our thanks should be directed to. Okay, anyway. Those who have made it a permanent gratitude state of mind have an edge on the not so grateful when it comes to health. They take better care of themselves, engage in more protective health behaviors like exercise. Don't wait till January 1. Start this week. Be grateful for the body that God has given you. Go out in the woods. Make maple syrup in the spring. Well, cut wood at least. Get ready. You know, I saw Harvey out of the corner of my eye. He's got a new. I won't use the word I always call it. he's got a new stove ready to go for the spring. He's got a new stove ready to go. So we'll have more maple syrup at the next auction. Grateful people have better health behaviors. What about stress in your life, church? Stay with me. We're not talking about just some self-help manual here. Stay with me. You'll see it. You realize stress can make you sick, right? Did you realize that it's linked to the leading causes of death, including cancer, heart disease, and all the rest? Did you know, though, 90% of doctors' visits are related to stress? 90% of doctors' visits, not genuine health issues, 90% of the visits come out of a stress issue. Gratitude, it turns out, can help us better our entire life. A University of California study and relate to your health, relationship to your health, said, practicing gratitude, heartfelt, genuine gratitude, creates a stronger immune system and lowers your blood pressure. Creates higher positive blood activity. More joy, optimism, and happiness. Acting with more generosity and compassion. Oh, the church could use a dose of that. Feeling less lonely and isolated. Less time to fall asleep and more refreshed in the morning. Everybody ready? Let's practice gratitude. Grateful people tend to be more optimistic, a characteristic that researchers say boosts the immune system. There are some very interesting studies that really even link it to immune function. So there was a Utah study, Aspinwall, from Lisa, from a PhD from Utah, said this. In her study, she conducted it with first-year law students. Wow, that's going to be a tense crowd. First-year law students, right? I mean, that first year, you don't know what you're getting into. And by midterm, after they practiced gratitude, she had them, case study. Based on the survey responses, these first-year students who practiced heartfelt gratitude maintained higher numbers of blood cells that protect the immune system, much more so than their pessimistic classmates. Okay, that is not the gospel. But what I want you to see from this scripture, church, is that we as the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be leading the way in this area of gratitude. I've heard it said so many times that Christians can be the most pessimistic, the most legalistic, and the least likely to give or even to tip well when they're out amongst other people in the world. Church. Now, that's not you. That's obviously some other churches. But listen to me. When we can assimilate in our heart that thanksgiving comes from the word grace, then the Lord begins to put this all into place. You remember when you taught your children? You taught your children from an early age to say please and thank you. When I first introduced this idea in class today, I took it from the fruit of the Spirit, which is actually in Galatians 5. We'll get to that here in a few weeks. But I took it from that angle in our class today. How, church, how can you be ministers of the fruit of the Spirit without first understanding the grace of the cross? You know, we read Galatians 5, which we'll study in depth in a few weeks. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. We look at those words and they just fall off our lips because, yeah, that's what us Christians are like. Oh, not according to research, it isn't. I think we've been bound up so long with such a legalistic attitude that our love comes out in criticism and our gossip comes out as prayer requests. And church, that's not grace. So, I want you to think back when you were teaching your kids, saying please and thank you. And, you know, we get to do this again with little granddaughters. So we're doing it again. And, you know, this one had a little tiny umbrella, you know. And the other one, of course, had to have it. That's just the way you humans are. Oh, I mean other people. So one had the umbrella and the other one wanted it. And so, you know, we had to do justice like Solomon would do. Now, we didn't cut the umbrella in half because we wanted to use it the next time they were there. So what we did was we said to little girl one, okay, you can have it for a little while, but then you need to share it with your sister. And so with the sister who wasn't getting first opportunity, we said, sister one had it first, you must wait. And she goes, okay. And then a few minutes later, we made sister one give it to sister two. And sister two just took it and took off running. We go, no! Sister two, you have to say thank you. Thank you. Gratitude takes practice. But it's in direct exponential proportion to where your understanding of why you should be grateful or why you are grateful emanates. Follow that? See, church, when we take the ministry of reconciliation into those homes this week, and I'm telling you, for some of y'all, it's going to be hard. Some of y'all do not want to go to your family event. Some of you, it's the greatest joy of your hearts, and you should be praising God every single day for that. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that's really critical. There's a Christian video that talks about the Thanksgiving chair. And I didn't share it today because it brings a lot of tears if you really read it, if you really watch it closely. But here's the point. Some of you all have your own chair at home. I do. And if Jameson's in it, he gets up. John even offers once in a while to get up. You know, he's had his nice relaxing dinner because he got home first. And I come in and I sit in this love seat that's horrendous. And John will say, Dad, you can sit here. That's grace. You know, obviously when they were little, I made sure they got out of the chair. But not anymore. I've grown up a little bit. I've grown up a little bit. So I love letting them be the man of the house. I absolutely love it. But still, it's ingrained in them to defer out of gratitude to me. Church, where is your position of gratitude with the Lord God, your Savior? So, here's what I challenge you to do this week. Whenever you're in a normal activity in your home, I would suggest you sit in a different chair. Let's say that your grandchildren or your children or your entire family are gathering. And this would happen just prior to them coming. And you would be normally doing your work and fixing things and doing things and creating things and cooking things. I would challenge you just for a moment to sit in a different chair. Sit in a different chair and pray for who's about to come to your home. Make sure it's a different setting. Now, we don't all have our prayer closets, but this week, I want you to do it from a different spiritual perspective. You know, some of you play football on Thanksgiving. We do. It just must be. And until they have to take me out in my wheelchair, which I'll still play. We will play football on Thanksgiving. That's just what we do. But this year, we're going to look at it a little different, from a different chair. Because generally, we're pretty self-centered that day. And we're going to pray for people who don't have the health, from a different perspective and a different spiritual eye, who don't have the health to be able to walk the mall or come out for dinner. We have people in our own congregation church who we need to minister to this week. Can we do it? Look at your gratitude for how Christ has lifted you out of that pit from a different chair. Okay, so as you're driving down the highway this week to work, some of you have real problems with this. And those people are in your way. I'm not suggesting you move to the passenger chair. I don't think that would be wise. But from a spiritual, by the way, Tim's got a big truck. I wouldn't suggest you get in his way. Every once in a while, Tim and I will pass each other and, you know, the token man wave, you know. And I'm just thankful that I'm not in his path. That truck's big. It's really big. But as people are in your way, wherever you're going to Thanksgiving dinner, don't you think it's funny? We start going down the road, we're yelling at people to get out of the way, how stupid they drive. Then you walk into the house, Happy Thanksgiving! I would suggest you look at those people on the highway from a different chair, from different spiritual eyes. What heartaches and tragedies make up their life? Pray for them. Pray for them. And then as you minister to your children, your grandchildren, there are teaching moments. There are a lot of teaching moments. I'd suggest you put them in a Thanksgiving chair. Speak to them about the grace of Jesus Christ. Teach them what gratitude really means. And church, here we go. The scripture that we just read paints the picture of what a true gratitude is. Let me give you a definition too. Some of you like to write these things down. Please write this down. The word gratia, from which we get the Latin phrase solo gratia, which we rehearsed a few weeks ago, by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Gratia gets its base in Latin from the Greek and Hebrew words that give this meaning: favor, freely given, graciousness without recompense. I know that was a mouthful. I'll say it again in case you want to write down a couple of the words you've never heard. Gratia, the base of the word, means favor, freely given, with graciousness without recompense. Nothing expected. Nothing in return is what recompense is. So, now, take a look at that word gratia, from which we get the word grace, from which gratitude emanates. And then we reflect God's glory. So in this third chapter, we read these verses beginning with 10. Church, it's time to stop. And I mean put a nail in your part of the cross. Stop judging the rest of the world by the law that doesn't save. Are you with me? Put a nail today at the beginning of Gratitude Week. Put a nail in your section of the cross that for now and forevermore crucifies the thought that your form of the law, your own personal view of the law, judges those people around you. Crucify it. Crucify the thought. Begin today. Eliminate it. Because in this section where we understand for the base of gratitude, it says, anyone who believes that the law will save them are under a curse yet still. Oh, church, that's not you. That's not you. So don't act like that during the week. Don't act like the person across the counter is supposed to treat you with respect. Instead, when they do, thank them with the greatest and deepest genuine gratitude of all. So anyway, now we're back. We're back to that coffee shop that I every once in a while go to. Now when I drive up, the drink is made before I get to the counter. And like the first time that happened, I was going, what are you guys doing? What if I wanted something different? Oh, you can have that too. I love seeing the good in people. I really, really do. Now, there are days when I'm really bad at it. How about you? But these people are pouring their hearts out. Some of them are going and trying to finish college. Some of these young people, some of these are single moms and moms that have to work to make ends meet. And I am so grateful that they think enough of me to think ahead for something as stupid as a cup of coffee. You know, church, we should lead the way. We should lead the way. And so in so doing, in recent weeks, I get to talk to them about their spiritual life. I talk to them about they maybe, you know, they're living with somebody and they want out of that. And so, Brian, you got a second. Brian, you got a second. You got a minute? What do you think about this? One time I walked in, they had all my stuff for breakfast ready, you know. And they said, and there was one of these TV things going on, TV preachers, that we're not preaching the gospel. And they said, what do you think about that? I said, it's heresy. Really? It's not the gospel. It's works-based. Don't watch it. Find a church here in Marion, and I'll give you the name of one that I trust. One and a half that I trust. I'm sorry. I can't send somebody to a church that's not preaching the gospel and the whole gospel and nothing but the gospel. I can't do it. I said, it's probably too far for you to drive here, but I know of one, maybe two here in Marion, and I want you to start going, and I want you to go with your friend here. I'd give you their names, but that wouldn't be right. These young people are searching for truth, church. Who in your family this week is searching for truth, and you are the minister of grace through gratitude for how God made them? Oh, some of these people in our families drive us crazy. They drive me nuts. Why are you so weird? Oh, wait a minute, maybe it's me. You ever stop to think? It might be you. No, seriously, you're called this week. You have been called to minister the gospel of grace, not legalism. Legalism should be put to death today. Clearly, the law doesn't justify. And then I want us to, before Patty comes up here, I want us to end on this thought of being redeemed from the curse. Church, I don't know how to get us to see this. It boggles my mind. I don't know how to get us. I wish I could take us on a trip to hell. I really, really do. I wish I could get us all. C.S. Lewis wrote a book about it. Maybe you should read that. Maybe that'll get you there. Read a book I'll just read them all. Read all C.S. Lewis's books, and maybe it'll get you there to see from where we've been delivered. If in the spirit somehow, I wish we could spend enough time that in prayers of intercession that God would reveal to us what hell really is. I want you to think about it this week. Can you imagine a place on earth where the presence of God is literally non-existent? Are you following that? See, we live in America and we think it's messed up, and it is. But let me tell you, you wouldn't be able to take another breath if the presence of God was removed from the United States of America or any place on earth. When the presence of God is removed by his hand, that is a hell you don't want to see. You see, we think we look at the scripture and it gives us the idea through symbolism and through literal word that it's hot and it's burning. But think about what that's really saying to you and me. Can you imagine not having the presence of God around you? Can you just, even for a second, think about what it would be like not to have access to the throne through the presence of our Holy Spirit and the Son ever interceding? Can you just even think about how depth and how ugly and how dark and disgusting that hell really would be? I don't think we can have even a glimpse of it. Then Jesus, but then grace, but then grace, nothing but grace, amazing grace. Why does our heart melt every time we sing one of the versions of Amazing Grace? It doesn't matter which version we sing. Every single time. It doesn't matter whether it's Tomlin's, whether it's one of the choruses about Amazing Grace, or it's the old traditional hymn. Why does our heart leap for joy when we combine grace, grace, amazing grace with holy, 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 Lord God Almighty? It's because our spirit knows when you are a child of the King, it knows your spirit connects with the Spirit of the living God, and he says, it is my will for you. It is my will for you to give thanks to me from the pit that I've redeemed you from. Amen? Oh, church, practice gratitude this week. In every area of your life, be the minister of grace. Patty. I forgot to have you read those scriptures, so read them this week. They're amazing.
Introduce it.
Patty has a calendar of gratitude that you will fill out. That's what she told me.
No, I didn't say that. The ushers are going to be passing these out at the doors. And I'm a teacher, so, at heart. So it's just something that came across me this morning, and I told Brian I had to come up and do this. And he's like, you are? I'm like, I know, I never
like. She always says she should never do anything in front.
I don't like to go up front. But I really feel like, and some of you might think it's childish, I want you to do this at home. I really, really want you to try it at home. We're going to do it at home. John, Jay, I've got four of them here, and your name's on one. And I want to encourage you, we're going to put it on our mirror in one of our bathrooms, and we're going to put it up, and we're going to fill it out every day. And I really encourage you to do this as well. If you're at home with your families, the other thing I encourage you to do is try not to copy what your other, and your husbands and wives do it together. People that are single, do it together, do it by yourself, but I really encourage you to do it. Try not to copy somebody else's. Try to find something different that you're grateful for. And we're going to do it for four weeks. I have the days down. And did I leave anything out? I didn't? Okay. But I challenge you, because I think that you will really find it a time when you're looking for things at work, at home. I think it begins at home. I'm a proponent of that. Immensely, that things begin at home. Do it with your spouse, with each other, and show each other, and so they can see. Write down things about work, things with family and friends. With friends, I don't want you to just put somebody's name down. I want you to say why you're thankful for them. Put down why, because they greet you with a smile. They, are courteous to you. Something, and I guess that's all.
Okay, stay with me.
Okay.
So. The idea, of course, is to practice gratitude. And it's in the practicing. The Bible's very clear. The Word of God's very clear when he speaks to us about practicing our compassion. They, being the world, will know we are Christians by our love. That sounds so empty unless we understand what's beneath it. Church, we've been redeemed from the deepest, darkest, eternal pit. And it's grace, grace, God's grace. Let's stand together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
What's the chorus, Johnny?
Then the Tip Tomlin one. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, your mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing grace.
Lord Jesus, move us, change us, give us a heart of gratitude. In your precious, holy name, Jesus, amen.